Here they come. Here they come. And Sister Carolyn, when they're done, if you'd make your way by the time they're coming down, we'll do the car. Let's really bear down the last verse. Here we go. Now, we can't wimp on this one, guys. We got to go. Here we go. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God. Sister Carolyn. Thanks, Sister Carolyn.
See?
Glory to his name.
like this song, I do too. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadows or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From arms safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and I feel no alarm. I like this verse. The Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be old. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From arms safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and I feel no alarm. I'm living by faith and I feel no alarm.
All right, Brother Cleo's going to come, and he's going to read in two different passages for us today. And he's going to start out on the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses number 10 through 18. And then he is going to be in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And then when he's done reading, I'll come back and have some things to share with you. Brother Cleo, why don't you come and read for us?
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, with that emphasis on Christ. Yeah. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 8. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men.
Amen. I've entitled our message for today, How Do We Get There? You say, well, that's kind of a strange title, Pastor. How do we get there? Where's there? Well, it's the next step. It's in your life and in our lives. It's the next step. It's the next direction that the that God has for our church, and we know where we are, and we know where we need to go. But how do we get there? And really, what's really interesting about the two passages of scriptures that we read in Acts chapter 9, God calls out a man named Ananias. To go, which Ananias was a man that was referred to as the disciple, and we talked a little bit about this Wednesday. He was not a he was not one of the apostles. He was not one of the main disciples, but the Bible calls him a disciple. And what the word disciple means is being taught. And teaching it. And so what we know about Ananias, he was a man that God was teaching, or that someone else was teaching and training and bringing him along. And what God did is God called Ananias to go to the house of Judas and meet one Saul of Tarsus and to begin to disciple him. Now, the reading in Ephesians was from that man that Ananias was discipling. And I really think it's unique as we look at that as and now in verse number or in chapter number 4 of Ephesians, in verse number 1, Paul refers to himself as a prisoner of the Lord. You know, I'll tell you what, Ananias, we don't know a whole lot about him. But he obviously was very thorough in his discipleship to the Apostle Paul. And of course, he knew him as Saul, but he was very thorough. How did Saul get to Paul? And how did Paul get to where he was in chapter 4? Well, it was because in Acts chapter 10, a faithful servant of God answered a call. And again, you know, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about Ananias, other than he was a disciple, and he was a man that responded to the call of God on his life, and going in the direction that he was going. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But first, what we need to understand about God: God doesn't have accidents. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life right now. It wasn't something God overlooked and this accident happened. He wasn't distracted with a cell phone in his car in heaven and have a wreck. He wasn't eating a Whopper as he was going down the road and wasn't paying attention. God don't have accidents. God doesn't do things randomly. Amen. You know, it didn't dawn on God this morning what he was going to accomplish today. God, it didn't dawn on God what he wants to accomplish in your life and in my life. He didn't wake up this morning and just kind of randomly say, okay, well, I think I'll do this. How many of y'all had one of those mornings? And now I like to have one of those every now and then where I, you know, just, you know, have a day off and I sleep until I feel like getting up. Of course, you know, those don't happen very much anymore. But I sleep until I feel like getting up. If I feel like getting out of my pajamas, I get out of my pajamas. If I don't, I don't, you know. But most days, I get up with a purpose, with a goal, a direction that I'm going, something that I'm doing. Every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, God does not do things randomly. Amen. There's a plan. There is a design. You say, well, I don't see the plan. I don't see the design. Well, you may not. And you may not see the plan or the design until you get to heaven. But God doesn't do things randomly. God don't make mistakes. You say, well, I beg to differ with that. You don't know what's going on in my life. Well, I can assure you God does not make mistakes. God don't get confused. He don't wake up and think, oh, is it Monday or is it Tuesday? Is it Wednesday? You know, I, as you all know, I traveled many years as a missionary. And we'd go day after day traveling and city and state after state. We'd go to from one missions conference in one church to a missions conference in another church. And sometimes in the morning when I'd get up, I'd have to stop and think for a minute. What state am I in? And I don't mean confusion. I mean literally, what state am I in? Where am I? Where am I? And what is my purpose? You know, I thank the Lord, God don't get confused. He never wakes up and wonders where he is or what he's done or where he's going. But what God does is he calls, he commands, and he commissions. This morning, I want to talk about Ananias, but before we get there, I want to talk to you about the most important call. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 32, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. He said, I come not to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. You know, the number one call in a person's life is the call from the Lord Jesus Christ to salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. We all know and understand that Lord tarries his coming. We have an appointment with death. We don't know when that's going to be. It might be tomorrow. It could be before we leave this auditorium this morning. It might be another 20 years down the road. You see, we don't know, but what we do know, God has it planned. It's not an accident. It's not by random. It's not by mistake, and he's not confused. We do know that it's coming. And we also know that after that day of death, the Bible says very plainly and very clearly, judgment precedes it. And so as you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, or as you're judged, will you spend eternity in heaven or will you spend eternity in hell? You say, well, I don't know. That's God's decision. Well, his decision is that you wind up in heaven. But it's your decision whether you're going or not. You see, you have to make the choice. Just like in the Garden of Eden when he placed Adam and Eve in the garden. He put before them the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he put before them the tree of life. And he told them, you're free to eat of whatever tree that you want of this garden. But in the day that you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. You see, it wasn't that the fruit was poisoned. We don't even really know what fruit it was. If you talk to the Armenians, they believe it was a pomegranate. Most people here in America think it was an apple. Well, it really doesn't matter, and who cares? What it was is it was a choice. God gave Adam and Eve a choice. You accept me, you take of the tree of life. You reject me, you take of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Praise the Lord, we have a choice today. We know that we're sinners, but we also know that Christ died for our sin. The Bible says in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, you can be a member of Faith Independent Baptist Church, a good moral person, sell all your goods, give all your money to the church, but if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll still die and spend eternity in hell forever. Because Faith Independent Baptist Church can't save you, but Jesus can. Not only can he wants to. He's willing. The question is are you? Have you answered the most important call in your life? If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? You know, it's really sad. Most people live their lives wondering. When the Bible says in the book of John, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. You know, praise the Lord. If the Lord was to take me home in your presence this morning, I know that I would wake up in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because I'm the pastor of Faith Independent Baptist Church or been a missionary or been a good person, because the Bible says all that is as filthy rags in the sight of God. It's because at the age of 15 years old, I knelt at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I confessed that I was a sinner. I invited the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart to be my Savior, to save my soul, and to take me to heaven based upon what He did, how He died, how He was buried, and how He rose again and provided salvation, how His blood, His shed blood, cleansed and washed away my sins. And the day that I did that, the Holy Spirit of God entered in my life, and praise the Lord, I have a solid testimony, knowing for sure that when I meet that appointment, whenever it is, I will spend eternity in heaven. So my question for those of you who are tuned in or those of you who might be here with us today, have you answered the most important call in your life? Are you there? Are you there? I'd like to encourage you to do that today. The next call that I want to talk about and heading towards the lesson that we have here for us this morning, if you'll flip over in your Bibles, we'll get back over to Acts chapter 9. It's the call of Ananias. You see, God not having accidents or doing things randomly. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't get confused. But what He does do is He calls you for an assignment. You see, when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has something for you to do. God has someone for you to reach. You know, that includes each and every one of us. There's not a one of us here today that has the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior is excluded from that. You see, Ananias, what was unique about Ananias here, he was a man that answered God's call. He was a man that realized when John chapter 15 and verse number 16 says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you." You see, Ananias understood that verse. Ananias understood what that meant. This verse was before Ananias's time. But you know, Ananias understood the principle that he was chosen, set aside for a purpose. You know what Ananias's, one of his purposes was to go to a man and disciple him so that the people in Ephesians could read, "I, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, he wasn't talking about that as far as meaning that he was unhappy with the situation he was in. He was just letting us know how serious he was about the circumstances and the call upon his life. You know where he got that from? He got that from the person God had called and separated out to go to him as a young believer and begin to work in his heart. And that was Ananias. And John 15:16, it says, "But I have you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And that verse goes on to say, "And ordained you." You know what that means? Giving you the power and the ability to answer the call. You know, a lot of times the reason we as Christians do not do what God tells us to do is because we're worried about, do we have what it takes? Do we have what it takes to get there? Yes, you do. There's not one of us in here that's excluded. We have the power because the Bible says here that He chose us and He ordained us. He gave us the power and the authority. You know, the way you got saved is the same way other people will get saved. You know, the person that needs discipled that God is laying upon your heart and speaking to you about, He's already given you the ability and the authority to get that job done. You know, I am so very, very thankful that I was raised up in a Christian home. And that God called out and separated out my parents to raise me up in a way that I should walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, God put me in a church. God called out and separated out a man of God to start a church that I could be born in, and Sunday school teachers that could sit down and teach me. I thank God for the nursery worker that told me about Jesus. You say, "Nursery worker? You're just a baby." That's where we need to start. I thank God for Miss Thelma Hendricksman, who God called out and set aside. Thelma Hendricksman was about this tall, and she weighed about 65 pounds soaking wet. Her husband was a lost man and gave her grief because she came to church and that she was involved in the church. But you know what? She came. And I remember, just like it was yesterday, as a little preschool little boy, and I have one of the chairs at my house, and one of these days I'll bring one. The little red chair that I sat on. And watch Miss Thelma Hendricksman take that flannel graph and put it up on the board. You know what she was doing? She was reinforcing what I heard in the nursery that I didn't quite understand. You know, I didn't quite understand it then either. But you know what she was doing? She was reinforcing it. Then Mr. Smith, a man who had a lot of trials in his life, had cancer, had a patch on his nose to cover it up because the cancer was in his face. But he was there every week as a junior age boy teaching me about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, teaching me how to be a good young man, instilling me in me the Word of God and the things. And I remember Mr. Taylor, Mr. Wade Taylor, most of his teeth was missing in the front. And he couldn't sing worth a flip, but he'd get his guitar out and he would play for us young men and he would sing "On the Wings of a Snow White Dove." And then he'd tell me and he'd tell us and instruct us and teach us. God set him aside for a purpose. You know what that purpose was? So that at 15 years old, I'd have a really good understanding of the gospel and I'd get saved. And at 57 years old, I'd be able to stand before a group of people at Faith Independent Baptist Church and encourage them to do likewise. Then there was Mr. Parrock, the young teenage boy in more trouble than I knew what to do with. He didn't care. He loved me anyway. Took me over to his house. Talked with me. Befriended me. You know what he was doing? He was discipling me. Even before I was saved, he was discipling me. And then after I got saved, he kept right on going. You see, God called and set all of these Ananiases aside to bring me to where I am today. Faith Independent Baptist Church, we need some Ananiases. We need some men. We need some women who are going to be willing to train up the next generation. You know, we can't wait any longer. We can't put it off anymore. We need some Ananiases that are going to be willing to take and set aside. And we need you need to realize that God has not only God has chosen you. He's ordained you. He's given you the power and the ability. And what you're there is it goes on to say in the next verse or the next sentence here that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. You have a pastor today because some people 40, 45 years ago, 56 years ago cared enough to teach me, to train me, to point me in a direction. You see, what they were doing is they were answering a call. Ananias, he was not one of the original disciples, but the Bible describes him as a certain disciple. You know, when I look at that word certain, you know what that helps me understand? Is he wasn't just anybody. He was somebody who cared and loved God. What he was doing is a 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Church, that verse is for us. You see, what we have and what we are learning and what we're seeing from the Word of God is so that we can answer the call that Ananias answered to get there and to get from where we're at. He had, and what was unique about, that you can see in verse number 10 here, Ananias, the reason he was keen to that call, the reason he responded to that call is because he not only was saved himself, he not only was being discipled himself, but we see in verse number 10, he also had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 10, he says here, to him said the Lord. You know, the Lord just didn't randomly walk out there and say, okay, I need a volunteer. Who's going to volunteer? Who's going to volunteer? No, what he did is he went directly to Ananias. He didn't go look for... He wasn't looking for Matthew. He wasn't looking for Thomas. He wasn't looking for anyone else. Well, who he was looking for and who he went directly to was Ananias. So he went to Ananias. He said unto him, and to him said the Lord in a vision. And he said, and then Ananias responded and said, and he said, behold, I am here. You see, the Lord didn't beat around the bush and go ask 12 other disciples to, hey, do you mind going, you know, going over to the house of Judas? And do you mind going over and talking to Saul and bringing him to the next point in his life? No, he went directly to Ananias. And you know what? Ananias didn't beat around the bush either. Because when God called, Ananias said, here I am. Here I am. You know, folks, I really believe with all my heart, it's not that we don't hear the call. It's that we don't answer it. Ananias, he had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why it's so important for you to read your Bible? You know why it's so important for you to pray? You know why it's so important for you to be here at church and where you know you should be? It's because you need to have a daily relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that as he calls, you'll be in the position of Ananias and say, "Here I am, here I am." You know, Ananias volunteered to go before he knew where he was going. We miss so much because we're sitting and we're waiting for all of the details when it simply is just a call. Christian, will you answer the call? Will you be like Ananias? Will you say, "Okay, here I am, Lord"? The second thing we'll look at here this morning is the command given to Ananias. Ananias, he was willing to leave from where he was to where he needed to be. You know, the problem that we have here at Faith Independent Baptist Church is not that we don't have that many children, and we don't. You know what the problem is? We don't have anybody willing to work with them, except for a few. Ananias was willing to leave from where he was to go to where he needed to be. Are you willing this morning to leave from where you're at? You say, "Well, what do you mean by that, preacher?" Well, let the Holy Spirit of God speak to your life. Are you willing to leave this auditorium to go downstairs to teach a class? Are you willing to leave riches and wealth in your life or an area in your life that you're hanging on to and you're thinking, "Well, I would serve God, but, you know, I've got this over here, which can't allow me to go there because I have this over here"? Are you willing to leave where you are to go to where you need to be? You see, Ananias, he was sitting under the tutelage, and he was being taught. He was being discipled, and he told the Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 10, "Here I am." And the Lord said unto him in verse number 11, the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go." Are you just willing to get up and say, "Okay, Lord, I don't know where going is, but I'm going. I'm gonna head out"? So he answered the call. Another thing that we see about Ananias, he was willing to follow the directions that God told him. And we see that in verse number 11. The Bible says in verse number 11, he was instructed to go unto the street called Straight. And when he got there, he was to inquire in the house of Judas. And he was to inquire about, as the Bible says, for one called Saul of Tarsus. You know, it's not that God's hiding what he wants you to do. He wants you to be willing to go. And most of you that are sitting here this morning already know what God wants you to do. You know where you need to be. You know who you need to be talking to. You know, and see, it's really even not a problem of not having the instructions. It's just the willingness to get up and move and go. But Ananias was willing to leave, and he was willing to follow the directions that God told him. You know how I wound up here at Faith Independent Baptist Church? I followed the directions that God gave me. And you know where they led? They led here. My GPS. And you know what? It didn't leave me out in the middle of a field lost and not knowing where I was going. It guided me and it directed me to exactly where it can be. You say, "Well, how do you know for sure that God wants you here?" Well, he revealed it to me in his word. Church, are you willing? Are you willing to follow the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ? We just ended up our missions conference. And praise the Lord. Brother Jed, he surrendered to what God wants him to do. But you know, I don't think God was only talking to Jed. I think he was talking to a whole bunch more of us that decided, well, I'd rather keep that missions money in my pocket. I can use it more than they could. Well, no, you can't. I don't know about that mission stuff. We just finished up our missions conference. As a church, God wants us to go. God wants us to have an evangelistic outreach, and we need to do it. Are you willing to follow God's direction? Third thing we'll look at here is Ananias, the commission given to Ananias, the power to do what God wanted him to do. We see that in verse number 11 and 12. And the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Ananias, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas one called Saul of Tarsus, and behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. You see, God gave Ananias a commission. Ananias realized his responsibility was to be an answer to someone else's prayer. I guarantee you, church, that there's someone on the other side of this world who is praying and asking God to send somebody. You say, oh, well, that really doesn't happen. Yes, it does. I spoke with a lady in Mexico, in the mountains of Mexico, way back in the middle of nowhere. I was the first white man to ever go in that village. She was over 90 years old. She had accepted Christ as her Savior. She had been praying before she got the gospel for someone to come, and we were building the church. And her response to me was, when I told her, I said, sister, you don't have to do that. Let us younger people take care of that. She said, no, I've been praying for 15 years for someone to come to our village. And she said, I'll work. Praying before she'd ever accepted Christ as her Savior, that God would send somebody to her village. You know what Ananias was willing to do? Ananias was willing to be the answer to someone else's prayer. I wonder, are you willing to be the answer to someone else's prayer? Or are you so wrapped up in what's going on in your life and how things are happening in your life that you don't even have time, nor do you care that someone else is praying? I want to beg you. I want to plead with you. Be willing to be someone else's answer to prayer. Because you know what? You are. Whether you're willing to go do it or not, you are the answer to someone else's prayer. He realized what he was given was to be shared and not just to keep for himself. You know, when Ananias walked into the room, in verse number 12, the Bible says he put his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now, it wasn't saying that Ananias saved Saul. But you know what Ananias was doing? Let me show you what I have been shown. Let me give you what I have been given. If there hadn't been a Mr. Taylor and a Mr. Perrock and a Mr. Smith and a Mrs. Thelma Hendricksman in my life, I would not be where I am today. Because what they did is they said, let me give you. Let me share with you what was shared with me. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what we've got to do. We've got to do it. He was willing. He was willing to answer, be the answer to someone else's prayer. He was willing, and he realized that what was given to him was not for him to keep, but to share. You getting saved was not just for you. It was for you to share so that others would know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior as well. And then the last thing we'll look at here in point number four, the concerns of Ananias. You know, Ananias, we see in verse number 13, he said, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. You know, as Ananias looked at the situation, Ananias realized that what God was asking him to do was greater than the capacity that he had. It was a job that Ananias was going to have to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was going to have to rely on God for faith to help him get the job accomplished. We have a world that's lost and dying. It's a bigger job than we can handle, but it's not a bigger job than God can handle. Ananias realized his inadequacy. He realized that he was not capable outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ananias was human as well, and there was some apprehension. There were some things that he was concerned about. The Bible says here, I have heard by many of this man. Saul had a reputation. Saul had a reputation. You come near me preaching Jesus, I'm going to have you taken outside the city and I'm going to have you stoned to death. You know, we got a world out there that hates us. We got a world out there that says we don't want to hear your foolishness. But that doesn't negate the responsibility. What we need to do is we need to go out there and tell them. You see, because Ananias was willing to step forward, the church in Ephesus got a man that said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And happy to be one. Because he was willing. He had apprehension. He knew that what he was about ready to do and what he was about ready to face was over and above what he could do. He knew that the potential of continuing assault on the saints of Jerusalem, because the next thing he went on to say is, you know, as he prayed to the Lord and shared his apprehension, he said, how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. You know, Ananias was human. I think he was kind of worried about his own neck a little bit. But he was also worried about his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and what would become of them if this Saul guy didn't mean business. But remember, God don't make accidents. He doesn't do accidents. He doesn't do things by random, and he doesn't make mistakes. And you know what Ananias realized? Just that. He also knew that he was given authority by the ungodly religious leaders of that day. He knew that the gospel to go further, he would need to trust God. Verse number 15, he said there, the Lord told him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." You know what Ananias realized? In order for the gospel to go further than where it was at, he was going to have to trust God. He was going to have to rely on God, even though it didn't look good at the time. He was going to have to rely on God. Faith Independent Baptist Church, in order for the gospel to go on further, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to go out, we're going to have to step out on faith. We're going to have to support more missionaries. We're going to have to support more missionaries for more money. We're going to have to step out on faith and start knocking on some of these doors and inviting people to come to church. We're going to have to step out on faith and begin to witness to other people, even though we know they're not particularly going to like it. You know one of the most discouraging things about going out and going door knocking and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ? Is when the doors slammed in your face. And the doors slammed in your face. And the doors slammed in your face over and over and over again. But you know what's great about it? Is when you run into that one. You see, you're not after those that close the door. You're after that one who's got the door open. That's praying. And what we need to do is we need to trust God. We need to go after the one. Ananias realized he needed to trust God. In verses 15 through 18, God showed Ananias that the gospel ministry would continue through Paul. Even though Saul was the least likely, humanly speaking, to continue the gospel, God knew he would. And I am so thankful that Ananias obeyed God. You know why I'm particularly very, 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 very thankful that Ananias got up from where he was at and went to where God wanted him to be? Because you know who Paul witnessed to? You know who Paul's ministry was concentrated in? Gentiles. You know who that is? That's us. If it hadn't been for Ananias, we may be sitting in a country without the gospel. We may have never had the opportunities that we have. You see, Ananias realized that in order for the gospel to go, in order for the gospel to continue, God was going to do it through Ananias. You know, when I came here to be your pastor, I started telling you as I wanted to send out a missionary from our church. You know the hardest decision to come here to be your pastor? Was to leave from where I was to go to where God wanted me to be. Because see, where I was on the mission field. Where I was going into the highway and hedges and compelling them to come in. And I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, if you want me to go there, I'll go and I'll obey you. But will you help me to send other people back in my shoes?" Lord's faithful. Lord answered that prayer. Church, what I'm asking you today, let's get there. We're here. Let's get there. Where is there in your life? It's the very thing that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you about. What is the next step that you need to take in order to do what God wants you to do? It could be getting saved. Maybe you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior. That's the next step. Without that, you're not going anywhere except for to a place called hell. Christian, what's the next step? Is it baptism? Is it church membership? Is it surrendering to go down and teach a Sunday school class? Is it surrendering to go out and make sure kids get picked up in our van? You know what'd be the greatest thing in the world? It's for us to have to go out and buy another van because we filled up the one we got. We got an activity coming up that we're going to be talking about in order to attract the community to us. Maybe that's your next step. Making yourself available for that activity. Being there, even though we'll probably be putting up with a lot of snotty-nosed little brats. I'm saying what you're thinking. But you know those little snotty-nosed brats? They grow up and they become preachers and missionaries. They grow up and become Sunday school teachers. They grow up and become godly fathers and mothers, raising families for the Lord Jesus Christ. They grow up being the next Ananias. They grow up being the next Apostle Paul. But we got to start here and head there. How do we get there? One step at a time. Brother Jones, if you'll come, we'll have our invitation. Sister Helen. What is the next step for you? Is the next step salvation? Easy thing to take care of. If you'll come, you'll indicate to me that you want to be prayed with or prayed for, and that you'd like to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we can take the Word of God and show you from out of the Bible today how you can know 100% sure that you'd go to heaven. You could walk out of these doors a changed man or a changed woman and never ever have to worry about where you're going to spend your eternity ever again. Maybe your next step is baptism. That's the next step in a believer's life after someone who has repented of their sin and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And because they are saved, they're baptized. Maybe you're not baptized and you need to be baptized. I'd encourage you to do that. Maybe the next step is membership. You say, well, why do I need to be a member? Well, it's called commitment. It's called commitment. Called getting involved. It's called sticking in for the long run. What is it in your life? Will you go ahead and stand to your feet? And Brother Jones? 167.